Does it take grace and humility to let go? Of course it does. The ego wants to control. It wants to be God. The ego wants to say, vengeance is mine. I will be the one to enact the punishment. Forgiveness is another way of surrendering. It is releasing to God what is God's. Forgiveness is the way you can be healed of the toxicity you created from your own anger, resentment, and self-righteousness. Just as you cannot consciously perform any act of surrender, you cannot forgive until you are ready. You can consciously prepare yourself for surrender by affirming your willingness, by loving the sinner but hating the sin, by accepting and embracing your own faults and failings. But ultimate letting go will happen when your soul opens up to the cleansing power of the Spirit. You can make yourself ready for the bridegroom's arrival, but you are not in control of the day or the hour. I remembered something I heard at a recovery meeting. It was a quote from what is sometimes referred to as the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It states, even justified anger was the dubious luxury of normal men, end quote. The ego can be quite convincing in letting us know we are right and therefore justified in our judgment. Whether you agree with that or not, the statement makes a powerful point about how toxic anger and resentment can become. We will have anger, of course. We will have justified anger, for sure. But to hold on to it and use it as a tool for judgment, comparison, or self-righteousness is dangerous to all of us. Feeling your feelings is not the same as holding on to toxic ones. With forgiveness, you need to feel your feelings, the hurt, the anger, and the sadness. It is only when you feel those things fully that you are going to be able to cleanly let go. If you attempt to let go before you have felt what you need to feel, you are going to be fooling yourself and creating an emotional quagmire. For years, I used to listen to well-meaning people say something to the effect of, "Honey, you need to forgive him." And I would see people really trying to do it and coming back with the same feelings plus a load of self-condemnation because they did not feel they were doing it right. I discovered if people tried to rush the process of forgiveness without feeling what they needed to feel, they would often be left with their old toxic feelings along with the sense that they deserved what happened to them. Instead of being free of those old destructive feelings, they were now burdened with a deeper sense of victimhood. Whenever I get the opportunity, I encourage people to feel the feelings of sadness and anger around what they are experiencing. They need to find ways to express those feelings in a healthy way. Once they are able to get those things out of their system, then forgiveness can follow. Jesus once cured a paralytic, but he first said, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Can you imagine the thoughts that were going on in that guy's head? It would not be far-fetched to imagine him thinking, "Hey, I didn't come here to be forgiven. I came here so you could work a miracle and make me walk." You're probably like that, like I am, too. You do not realize the essential and powerful nature of forgiveness. You might realize forgiveness is important, but think other things take precedence. Not so. With Christ in training, forgiveness as a form of love is tops on the list. You are encouraged to be aware of whatever is going on with you. Feel it, experience it, and give it to God. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, says Paul in Romans. Forgiveness is freedom. It is the freedom to love unconditionally without judgment. I was just about to get up and stretch when someone bumped into my chair. Even before I looked up, I heard this annoying voice talking and initially wondered if he was talking to me. As I looked up, here was this young man on a cell phone. He's got some nerve invading my space, I thought. This is a sacred place. Why doesn't he just go someplace else to carry on his business? My mind just went nuts for a minute. And then I remembered forgiveness. Man, how easily I get hooked. I got up, stretched, and sat down again, and tried to concentrate. But that voice on the phone kept nagging me, even though he was no longer here. I remembered a story I heard years ago. A teacher opened a little meditation center outside Washington, D.C. The center happened to be very close to the Beltway, which goes around the D.C. area. One day, a student complained, "All this traffic noise is so distracting, I can't concentrate on my meditation." The master asked him, "Are the cars coming in here and bothering you? Or are you going out there to be bothered by the cars?" Great question. The guy on the phone is not doing anything to me. The obvious lesson here is letting go and letting him be. I settled back down in the chair. I read again, "Forgiveness is freedom. It is the freedom to love unconditionally without judgment." Spiritual understanding. I began to think of that wonderful advice and realized in my heart how freeing forgiveness is. I thought of how much more simple life could be without all those judgments cluttering up my mind. But then my thinking mind kicked in, again, of course, and wondered, how then do I know what is right for me? How do I know what to do next? Don't I have to judge? Don't I have to use judgment to get those answers? The book took away my difficulty. To live life fully, you are encouraged to open yourself to the ability to listen to the voice of God, the Holy Spirit within you. This is not judgment, but it is a knowing. It is a knowing of the soul and of the heart. Spiritual understanding is not exclusive territory. Solomon is praised and remembered for his wisdom, but to think too highly of Solomon is to put yourself in a lowly place. The gifts of wisdom and discernment are yours as well. An often repeated lesson for Christ in training is that the power is within you. The understanding and the wisdom are within you. The scribes and Pharisees actually encouraged people to give their power away to them. "We are the teachers," they said. "We are the knowledgeable ones," they told the people. "We are the ones that know. We know the truth. Listen to us. We know much more than you do." You can get caught in the same trap. You can lord it over others in the sense that you know and they don't. The more common trap, however, is to think or to feel that other people have much more wisdom and spiritual understanding than you do. It is so easy to give your power away to other people. You can say to yourself, for instance, they have a PhD, they must know. She's a minister, she must know. He's a doctor, he really must know. He's a priest, he must know. He's a Native American shaman, he must know. She wrote a book about it, she must know. Everyone thinks she is a great psychic, she must know. He's rich, he must know. She has a guru, she must know. He is a guru, he must know. He's so much smarter than I am, he must know. She's been a student of the Course in Miracles for years, she must know. She spent 3 years in Tibet, she must know. Oh, spirit guides live in their house, they must know. And on and on. Another Christ in training, known as Siddhartha or Buddha, when instructing his followers, suggested, don't believe anything I tell you. Don't believe anything anyone tells you. Take in only what resonates with the deepest truth of your heart. Can anyone teach you the smell of a rose or the colors of a sunrise? It is you who has that experience. It is you who takes it in. It is you who knows and experiences God and love. Do you have to be a saint to appreciate the beauty of a sunset? Let us hope not. In breaking down society's boundaries and prejudices, Jesus eradicated the notion of exclusivity. Everyone is not only entitled to God's gifts, everyone already has them. For Christ in training, living is not about feeling wise. It is more about knowing that wisdom is there inside of you. It is the realization that a deeper knowing beyond the mind exists. It is also developing ways to reinforce that knowing. The thinking mind or intellect has a difficult time grasping anything beyond itself. Spiritual understanding bypasses the thinking mind. A marvelous way of doing that is sometimes referred to as acting if. At times the method is called fake it till you make it, but that makes the process sound like something false or phony, and it is not. When you act as if, and by the way, you do this much more often than you are aware, you simply bypass the resistance, negativity, and doubt that naturally exist in the intellect. That does not mean being phony. What it does mean is that if you are willing to push yourself to act in a certain healthy or positive way, then the rest of you, your old habits and reluctant ego, will generally follow. To paraphrase Gandhi, be the change you want to create. You allow yourself to tap into those inner resources, those qualities of God that live with you, and you let them rise to the surface. For instance, you might realize that you need to be more loving in a particular situation. You say to yourself, well, I don't feel very loving. Then your spirit chimes in and says, let's act as if you are more loving in this situation. Notice what happens. You start focusing on being more loving, and you are. This love you are experiencing and sharing did not come from the ethers. It was always there. You just did not realize it. What got in your way for a time was that your intellect made your feeling of not being very loving into the truth. Turning that around and listening to your spirit, you went beyond that false thought of the mind to a deeper truth and an ability to love within yourself. Whenever you deny the power of a negative feeling and act on your deeper experience of God and the qualities of God, you are acting as if. Far from being false or phony, you are living your authentic truth. When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, Peter wanted to do it as well. Jesus invited him by saying, "Come." Peter, for a few moments, acted as if he could walk on water, and he did. He went beyond his human understanding. He delved into that place of deep knowing that is sometimes referred to as faith. He discovered this marvelous resource inside himself that went beyond human awareness. For Peter, like most people, it did not take long for the intellect to kick in and say something such as, "Hey, I can't be doing this. This is crazy. Maybe Jesus can walk on water, but I certainly can't. I'm no miracle worker." Well, you all know what happened next. He sank like a stone. You might find yourself asking questions such as, "Am I worthy of wisdom? Am I worthy of spiritual understanding?" As was mentioned above, this is not a matter of feeling. Worthiness is a matter of knowing. When you know, there is no need to even ask the question. As a child of God, these gifts are your birthright. Instead of asking such questions as, "Am I worthy?" you need to center on your experiences of love and wisdom and any other of God's gifts. Your experiences are not a matter of thought or feeling. They are a reflection of your own unique encounters and experiences with God. Like anything else spiritual, these experiences do not have to be huge or dramatic. An encounter with the divine could be as simple as an act of love or kindness. It could present itself through a smile of a child. God offers his presence in so many ways: a flower, a fond memory, a piece of music. Those moments, those blissful instants, are proof of your worthiness if you choose to accept and embrace them as gifts of God. Do not think about it. Do not analyze it. In your heart of hearts, when you know something is real, stop thinking and let your soul absorb the truth. When you know you are loved, when you know you have experienced the touch of God, just let it be and live it. Spiritual understanding is going beyond the mortal mind, the intellect, and the thinking mind. Spiritual understanding, like other spiritual gifts, comes from within. It is listening to the stirrings of God within you. How do you know? How do you know that you know? How do you know what voice to listen to? Great questions, I thought. I don't know about the person or people who wrote this book, but I've got a committee living in my head. I remember a client of mine once saying, "You know, when I'm sitting here in your office talking with you, I am doing just fine. It's when I go out in my car and my group therapy session starts that I get into trouble." I knew exactly what he was talking about. I know that I have so much stuff going on in my head. I have so much information and misinformation. I also have such a truckload of negative thoughts. What do I listen to? How do I separate spiritual understanding from all that other noise?